I better get the video played right away. And we're going to get deep again today with the third commandment. On Monday, we had the opportunity to gather back in the chapel, a group of us, for prayer. And there was something that our youth director, Wyatt, shared it's really interesting. It's something that I had heard before. It might have been new for some of the people in the room, and it might be new for you. On Monday, we were talking about names for God, and Wyatt brought up that when you go through the Hebrew, original language, Old Testament, so that's the first part of our Bible, the Old Testament, you will encounter, and I've got this on the PowerPoint, you will encounter they just might look like little strikes or digits to you. But Hebrew reads from right to left. We read from left to right, but Hebrew reads from right to left. And this is the Hebrew word for Yahweh, if you've heard that before. But what Wyatt pointed out to us is that when a Jewish person was reading out of the Old Testament and they came across this, they would never say Yahweh. Instead, they would say, if you want to move to the next slide, they would say Adonai. So whenever they saw the Yahweh, instead they would say Adonai. And Adonai means Lord. Why did they do this? And why do Jews still do this today as they read the Old Testament? They do this out of all reverence for what? The name of the Lord. All about reverence for the name of the Lord. Today we are talking about the third commandment, and it is all about the name of the Lord. So, let us pray, and then we are going to have a reading of the third commandment. Gracious God, we thank you for bringing to live the best way. Lord, we know that your ways are the best ways, and that if we really want freedom from sin and slavery and death, Lord, we have to follow you in your ways, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, today we are looking at Exodus chapter 20. It is verse 7. If you'd like to have it open in front of you, it's on page 118. In the Pew Bible. All right, let's have a reading of Exodus 20, verse 7. It says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." This is the word of the Lord. Now, before we get into this, I want to do another important repeat on what the commandments mean for us. Now, for us as Christians, we recognize that Jesus is our Savior. We recognize before we changed our lives, before we cleaned up our act, before we did anything to try to merit salvation from God, we realized that Jesus did it first. We realized that our salvation comes by faith in Jesus. It's not about our works. It's not about what we do. It's a free gift of grace from Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for us and the forgiveness of our sins, so that we would have eternal life. We are called to accept that in faith, And when we do, we are truly forgiven. And we have the grace and the mercy and the love of God with us. I think about the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross turned to Jesus in his last minutes. And Jesus told him, "Today, you're going to be with me in paradise." That thief on the cross accepted the free gift of grace given by our Lord and Savior Jesus. And these commandments don't make sense to us as Christians unless we've accepted that wonderful, matchless grace of Jesus. How might you do that? Well, I would suggest go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Heavenly Father and say, "Father, please forgive me. And Lord, I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want Him to be my Lord. I want to have new life in Him. I don't want to be held down anymore by sin and all of the troubles that plague me. I want your Son Jesus." When we do that, we are forgiven. And then, because in that, we receive the Holy Spirit, we also get new life. And that's what these commandments are about for us. They're not about being good so that we're accepted by God, but rather, it's about us being forgiven and having new life in Jesus. Now that I have new life, I want to live for Christ. I want to be in line with God's will and ways. I want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and do things His way because I love God. He has saved me by His Son Jesus. So I just want to get that straight. The commandments are not about us doing good to earn salvation. It's rather about our gratitude and our thankfulness for all that God has done for us in Jesus. All right. Like I said, it's an important repeat that we need to hear because so often we start to think that our good deeds will earn us a spot in heaven, but that's not what this is about. This is about gratitude for what Jesus has done for us. All right, so the first commandment was a foundational commandment for us. And we find in the first commandment that there are no other gods besides the Lord our God. And we need to worship Him and worship Him alone. We can't have any other gods in our lives. The second is about worship, that we should have no idols. We shall not make any idols of anything on in heaven above or on the earth beneath. We shall not bow down to them or worship them. We worship the Lord alone. We don't worship idols. And now the third commandment is about our mouths. It's about what we speak. It's about what we say. I want to share a scripture from the Gospels that I think really sets the tone for this whole commandment when we think about responding to Jesus' matchless grace by living in line with God's commandments. This is what Jesus says, and I've got this on the NIV here first, the New International Version. So if you want to skip ahead a couple of, there you go. So in the NIV, let's see here. Trying to see, I wonder, there should be one slide that says out of the overflow. Is there one that says out of the overflow? Nope, I didn't include that one? Okay. I wasn't sure if I put that into PowerPoint or not. All right. So, Matthew 12:34. In the NIV, it says, "Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Or you can look at another translation the NLT, the New Living Translation, it says, whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. I think that's a good theme for us to think about as we move forward talking about this command. Does your mouth get you in trouble? If it does, it's time for you to do a heart check. Because our words show the truth about our hearts. Our words show the truth about our hearts. Do you find yourself gossiping and slandering others? Well, you might have a heart of jealousy. Maybe something happened in your past and you never ever let it go. And you keep on bringing it up, these past mistakes, over and over and over and over again. It's like you have a hammer on a nail and you just keep on hammering and hammering and hammering. You might have a heart of anger and bitterness. Now, let's apply this passage for today's words. And now we can move on to the, where it says, yeah, there we go. So, here in the NIV, the one that we're reading today, it says, you shall not misuse. You can look that up in the dictionary and find that it means that if we use something the wrong way, that's misusing. Using something the wrong way or improper use is another way of thinking about it. So using the name of the Lord in a wrong way or improperly using the name of the Lord. Now, I did here in this passage another word that's used here. If you look on our board out in the hallway of the Ten Commandments, and maybe as you remember the Ten Commandments, and particularly this commandment, maybe a different translation or different word other than misuse sticks out at you. So I brought a more traditional interpretation. This would probably be closer to word for word in the Hebrew, but I have the New King James Version next. And it's in vain. Now, I can see why the translators decided to use the word misuse rather than in vain, because when I started this week, I had to think about it. Use the name of the Lord in vain. In vain. Well, I looked up vain. And this is, I think this is really a good reason for us to look at many translations when we're looking at Scripture. Well, vain or foolishly. Vain means useless, worthless, or foolishly. I think it's more specific. We're not just talking about misusing the name of the Lord. Worthless and foolish way. Like I said, to me that puts a little bit more specificity on it. And I think it gives it a little bit to not misuse the name of the Lord, to not use the name of the Lord in vain, uselessly, foolishly. And as we do this, I'm going to highlight four different things. Or four different ways. And I've got these up on the PowerPoint too, I hope. So number one is cursing. Cursing. Well, before we start here, thinking about any of these four different things to focus on today, I had to stop and think about, well, which name of the Lord are we talking about? You know, I mentioned earlier that the Jewish people, they were very careful about not saying the word Yahweh. They would say Adonai instead. So are we just talking about Yahweh? I don't think so. To me, I think that it means all names for God. I think that it includes the Father, Son, the Spirit. I think that it would also include Lord. Other words we have for God. Well, God and Jesus. And I think it would also include Jesus Christ or Jesus Messiah. There's another one that I've heard from time to time too. And this one has to do with the Greek letters. This one's derived from the Greek letters. But I think that it counts too. And if you're interested in the history on this one, come and talk to me later. And there's going to be several things you can come and talk to me later about on this one. This is one area that we could get into a little deeper, but we're not going to today. It's Jesus H. Christ. That's derived from some Greek letters, the way that Jesus is spelled in Greek. You've seen those symbols before, but that's where that one comes from. Now, when it comes to cursing, this is something that is so prevalent in our society. It blows my mind when I stop and really pay attention. You know, I turned on a show the other day. You know, I'm in the middle of this, getting ready for this sermon. I turned a show on the other day, and this commandment was broken in the first 30 seconds. The first 30 seconds. Society has or sees absolutely no big deal when it comes to this commandment at all. And speaking the Lord's name in vain or misusing the name of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I hear it all the time in everyday talk. Some people might say that this is just a way of speaking. Or they might say, you know what, they don't even know they're doing it. Or they don't really mean anything by it. Well, isn't that the whole point of this command? We shall not use the name of the Lord in vain. We shall not use it uselessly or foolishly. That's the whole point of this command, that we shall not use it worthlessly. For a Christian, for us, there's really no excuse. You know, before I was a Christian, I used to speak this way all the time. I never thought about it. I never considered it an issue. I never cared. But I remember when I first became a Christian, I remember that when it came to the new life in Christ, when it came to changing my ways so that I could respond with gratitude to what Jesus has done for me, one of the first things that popped in my mind in the first 5 minutes of becoming a Christian was, wow. And I don't know why I do know why, because it's really important, but this command came up for me right away as a new Christian. Like, boom, like, you should not be speaking like you've been speaking any longer. And it was like an immediate thing. Like, boom, you got to change the way you talk when it comes to you. Remember, out of the heart, your mouth speaks. And we can ask ourselves, you know, how little do we care about the Lord if we continue to break this commandment? If we continue to break this commandment and know Jesus as Savior, we're living like the Lord's saving grace and His great name and our very salvation is no big deal. How we use the name of the Lord matters greatly to God. And think about it. This is the Lord's third command. The Lord had to make a list, right? No other gods beside me. No idols. And what's His third one? Don't use my name in vain. Like, wow. If you think about it, like, that's the third command? From God Himself, written on stone tablets on the mountain for Moses. Number three, don't use the name of the Lord your God in vain. He says this before he gets to murder, before he gets to adultery, before he gets to stealing or the Sabbath, before he gets to all of those, he says, do not use my name in vain. Do not use it uselessly or worthlessly or foolishly. Dishonoring the name of the Lord is a big deal to God. So much so, we got another slide here for the second part of this. Did I put the second part of this verse in here? Where it says that, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless? No? Okay. For the second half of this command, God says, I will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Like I said, we might not think it's a big deal, but the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless. Even one misuse of the name of the Lord, God considers us guilty, deserving of eternal death, and we will not get away with it, and we cannot sweep it under the rug. Remember, with Adam and Eve, it was just one sin that brought the curse upon the entire human race. One sin. Adam and Eve in the fall. They ate from the tree that they were not supposed to eat from. One thing. But we have hope. We can bow down to the Lord. We can ask for forgiveness. And we can put our hope in the one and only way to salvation, in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Even if we've committed this sin thousands of times in the last week, we can turn to the Lord, we can ask for forgiveness, and we can stop. And we can live in gratitude for what Jesus has done and follow his will and his ways. We can change the way that we operate. We can change what we say out of our mouths when we change our hearts. All right, now, there's one last concern on number one, on cursing. And this is something that's come from the history of Reformed churches, actually. And it's one that I've wrestled with, a concern. And it's this. Is God angry also with those who do not do all they can to prevent and forbid the using of the name of the Lord's name in vain? I guess you could say that a different way. You could say, do we share in taking the name of the Lord in vain if we are silent bystanders? Something that I've wrestled with. Maybe that's something for discussion over lunch today. Are we also sharing in the taking of the Lord's name in vain if we are just silent bystanders? That would be the question. And it's an interesting question. Like I said, it's one that I wrestle with. When it comes to believers, when it comes to non-believers, what are we talking about here? Again, good discussion for us to have. All right, so number one was cursing. Number two is disrespecting. A disrespecting use of the name of the Lord. Using the name of the Lord in this way would be using the name of the Lord lightly or thoughtlessly with lack of seriousness. So, imagine yourself out golfing with your friends, and there's one particular friend who is absolutely 100% completely and utterly hopeless and terrible when it comes to golf. There's no hope. And you keep trying to help them correct the most terrible swing that you have ever seen in your life. You keep trying and trying and trying. You're at hole number one, and they whiff it. Hole number two, they whiff it. Hole number three just happens over and over and over again. And you're at hole 11, you're at hole 12, and out of frustration, you say, "My," and then you insert a name of the Lord. Now, could you be saying it heartfeltly, you know, in a heartfelt way, in a serious way? You could be. Could you be saying it in a reverent way, in prayer for real? It could possibly be the case. But how often do we just use phrases, words, and idioms that include the name of the Lord in a thoughtless way? I think that's what this second one is all about. Disrespecting the Lord by using his name in a thoughtless, flippant kind of way. So it could include things like my, and insert the name of the Lord. Or it could include, "Oh my," insert the name of the Lord. Or "for," insert the name of the Lord, "sake." Or "so help me," insert the name of the Lord. Or "thank," insert the name of the Lord. Or "sweet," insert the name of the Lord. Or "name of the Lord, Mary and Joseph." Maybe you've heard that one before. Or insert the name of the Lord, "help us." Or insert the name, "knows." Or "good," insert the name of the Lord. You know, this week, I'm sorry about that was kind of a, you had to use your head on some of those, but I didn't want to say them out loud. I wrestled with that this week. And, Thursday and Friday, I was like, am I going to include these in my sermon or not? And actually say them or not. But I was wrestling. And then Friday morning, I was out for a walk with one of my friends early in the morning. And I don't usually do this, but I said one of these in a flippant and thoughtless way. And I don't know if it was just because I've been in this all week or what, but I said it and I stopped. And my buddy's like, "What's going on?" And I'm like, "I just used the name of the Lord irreverently. Like, what? Like, Lord, what am I doing?" And it was then that I was like, you know what? I'm not going to say him. I'm going to just say, insert the name of the Lord here, insert there. Because, man, it is so easy to get on these and to continue in them in a useless and thoughtless way. What are yours? What are some of the ones that you use? What do you say thoughtlessly, lightly, with lack of seriousness? So number one was cursing. Number two was disrespecting. Number three, we're going to talk about swearing. And when I mean swearing, I mean the other kind of swearing. So on this one, you shall not make thoughtless or useless oaths or promises or vows in the name of the Lord. So this would be any time you're swearing on the name of the Lord. And when you do it, it should be for something important, something you're not going to break. And it should also be for something godly. You know, there's a story out of Judges chapter 11 where a man named Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. You know what he says? He says, "If you give the Ammonites into my hand, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering." You heard this story before? He makes this vow, if you let us win over the Ammonites, whatever comes out of my door, I will sacrifice as a burnt offering. So, Jephthah went over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into his hands. He devastated 20 towns from Aroer to the vicinity of Minnith, as far as Abel Karamin. Thus Israel subdued Ammon. And now, when Jephthah returned to his home in Mizpah, who should come out to meet him but his daughter, dancing to the sound of tambourines? That was not a godly vow. And it's not a vow that he should keep. We shall not swear in the name of God with something that is ungodly. It should be something important and something that we're not going to break. So, certainly then, swearing thoughtlessly would be, I swear in the name of the Lord, this or that. It could also be like someone saying, oh, by the name of the Lord, I'm not lying to you. When I hear that, you know what the first thing I think of is? They're lying to me. Right? So we shall not swear, make oaths or promises or vows thoughtlessly in the name of the Lord. Now, there is some question about this particular commandment. In regards to the New Testament, we're not gonna get into that, but there have been Christians that have said, you know what, when it comes to the courtroom, when it comes to taking your oath of office, those kinds of things, if you're going to be a senator or a mayor or any of those kinds of things, some people have said, oh, you know, New Testament, I'm not really sure if we should be taking any oaths at all. So they will take no oaths in the name of God. Other Christians will go to the New Testament and will argue that, yes, we can take oaths, but we must take them of the utmost seriousness. Of the utmost seriousness. Like I said, there are a few points in this message. If you got questions later, I'll point you in the direction of the scriptures to look at. And this would be another one of those instances. All right, so number one, we had cursing. Number two, disrespecting. Number three, swearing. And number four, and the last one here, this one is not as long as the others, but this is number four, and I would consider this one false witnessing. False witnessing. This would be falsely using the name of the Lord. I would consider some of the cults to be in this category, false witnessing, using the name of the Lord wrongly, and talking about the Lord in ways that are completely unbiblical. I'm talking about Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, all who claim to know God who don't. I would also include in this one, in false witnessing, people that prophesy falsely. So if somebody's saying, you know, the Lord told me this or that, and then it never comes to pass, that would be misusing the name of the Lord. Or someone that says, January 1st, 2022, at 9 p.m., end of the world, God told me. No, they've been using the name of the Lord falsely. And then finally, I think also with false witnessing, it could be anybody that uses the name of the Lord for manipulation. We're talking about for money, for power, for fame, all of those kinds of things. All right, so we have cursing, we have disrespecting, we have swearing, and we have false witnessing. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Well, God considers this to be a big deal. It's his third commandment, and his name matters because he is holy, he is righteous, he is perfect, and he is full of glory. And I think about other passages too. I want to just read you this one from Philippians. It says this about Jesus. It says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the what? Gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's a pretty powerful verse about the name of Jesus. And I'm sure we could go through Scripture all day and find all kinds of things about the name of God. Why? Because His name should be honored and protected and only uttered from our lips with all reverence. We need to remember that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Shall we pray? Gracious God, one way that Satan has corrupted our society and us too is not thinking as highly of your name as we ought. Lord, we thank you for your guidance today through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you. You've saved us from our sins. You've given us salvation. Lord, we want to live now with new life in you. And we ask for help that when we start to utter your name in a useless and thoughtless way, that by the power of the Holy Spirit that you have sent us, that we recognize it. And we turn and start living in line with your will and your ways. And Lord, guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.